Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin, on this Friday. Or should I say Friday? Oh, boy. I tell you what, this has been a long week. I usually say, oh, boy, time flies when you're having fun. Well, this week has kind of been a drag, I must say. A lot going on, a very busy week. And as always, we have a very busy hour of Current Sports in store for all of you out there right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We are going to recap last night's exhibition game one for the Michigan State men's basketball team as they played host to the Ferris State Bulldogs in a close one. It was close, folks. This was not a blowout like many, including myself, thought it was going to be. But it was an 80-72 win for Tom Izzo's team. We'll recap that game. I was there covering that matchup and got a chance to chat with Izzo. Of course, we went into the locker room. Got some interviews there. We put together a 2-minute drill report, which you can catch via facebook.com/currentsports if you need to check out the highlights or haven't done so yet. But we'll talk about that game. An interesting game and one that included a pretty scary moment. So don't go anywhere. Trust me, you want to stick around for that conversation. We'll also talk high school football playoffs. That's right. The opening night of high school football playoffs here in the state of Michigan. Action gets underway around 7 p.m. A lot of our local teams will be competing for a chance to head to Ford Field for a possible state championship appearance. We'll talk with Zach Berridge, sports anchor and reporter for WILX TV 10. Zach will help us preview the action tonight. We have about 21 local high school football programs in the big dance, so you don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we'll have a few previews for you as we will chat about the MSU and Northwestern college football game that will get underway tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 p.m. The Spartans trying to move to 7-1 on the year, but they will take on a Wildcats team that is on a groove a little bit right now. They've won two straight. And Mark D'Antonio's team, of course, have not lost in Big Ten play yet. So Michigan State will head to Evanston. We'll preview that game. And also we'll talk Lions and Steelers. That's right. The Detroit Lions and Pittsburgh Steelers will go at it on Sunday Night Football. That's going to be an interesting night because you got the Pistons playing the Golden State Warriors that night. You got the Lions on. You got the World Series taking place that night. That is going to be a busy night of sports on Sunday night. So we'll talk Lions and Steelers as well as do all of that while taking your calls and reading your comments. Call in to be a part of the fun, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is our number. You can also join us via social media. The Facebook live stream is up and running as it customarily is. Go to facebook.com/currentsports to check out the live stream, and you can weigh in below the video and even tweet us at the official Twitter handle of Current Sports at WKAR_sports or at my Twitter handle at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. And we start with Michigan State men's basketball. Tom Izzo and company began their exhibition season last night in an exhibition game against Ferris State, topping the Bulldogs 80-72. This one was close throughout its entirety. Cassius Winston led the way for the Spartans. He scored 26 points, shot 61.5% from the field. Freshman forward Jaren Jackson Jr. also had an impressive debut for the Spartans, scoring 14 points while collecting 8 rebounds and 8 blocks. And he had a dunk, folks, that sent shockwaves throughout the Breslin Center crowd. It reminded me of the Dwight Howard Superman dunk from the NBA All-Star game back in the day, where he was so high that it's not like he dunked it in. You know, it's almost like he threw it in. Because he was that high. I don't even think his hand even touched the rim. Crazy, crazy stuff. On the flip side, the Spartans, though, only shot 34.7% from the field, including 28.9% during the first half. Now, Joshua Langford, he contributed to this by shooting 0-for-12 from the field. Yeah, it was not a great outing for Josh Langford. The Spartans will next play their next exhibition game this Sunday at 2 p.m. against the Georgia Bulldogs at Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids. They will be raising money for hurricane relief. And Tom announced earlier this week that that game is already sold out. Wow, that's a hot ticket, right? MSU's Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing Jr., he is a native of course, the Bahamas, one of the places affected by the recent hurricanes. All right, the MSU wrestling team held its green and white scrimmage last night with the green squad topping the white squad 21-6. Returning NCAA qualifiers Javier Gasca and Austin Ecker dueled for a chance at the starting spot. Gasca claimed the victory for Team Green 6-1. The Spartans will next play in its own MSU Open on November 5th at Jenison Fieldhouse. The 2-2 MSU hockey program will look to get above the 500 mark this year as they host 1-3-2 Lake Superior State, the Lakers, at Mount Ice Arena for a weekend series. Both puck drops are scheduled for 7:05 p.m. MSU leading scorers and line mates Patrick Kortarenko and Tyro Heroes and Mitchell Lewandowski have accounted for 58% of the Spartans' total points this season. Lewandowski was named the Big Ten First Star of the Week on Tuesday after his 4-point game versus Western Michigan University on October 20th. Those 4 points were the most in a game by a Spartan freshman since 2009. The Michigan State women's volleyball team opens up a 3-match homestand tonight with the Cornhuskers of Nebraska coming to town. Nebraska is currently ranked number 7 in the nation, but the Spartans have won 3 straight coming into tonight's matchup. First serve is set for 8 p.m. with coverage on the Big Ten Network, BTN. And it's also a breast cancer awareness match. Everyone in attendance is encouraged to wear pink. Cheer on the Spartans and enjoy some good old volleyball from Jenison Fieldhouse. That should be a great atmosphere. Ran into Kathy George, actually, at the Michigan State men's basketball game last night. A lot of people were in attendance at the Brez last night. All right, the MSU football team, the Spartans, will travel to Evanston, Illinois, tomorrow afternoon to face the Northwestern Wildcats in another 3:30 p.m. game that can be viewed on ABC. The Spartans are ranked number 16 in the nation currently and sit atop the Big Ten with a 4-0 conference record in the Big Ten East, 6-1 overall. Northwestern is 2-2 in the conference and 4-3 overall. MSU lost to Northwestern 54-40 last season in East Lansing and will look to avenge that sour taste in its mouth. Mark D'Antonio is undefeated in Evanston 4-0, and the Spartans are 2-0 on the road in 2017. The Scarlet Knights of Rutgers University head to the Big House to take on the Michigan Wolverines on the gridiron tomorrow afternoon at noon Eastern Time for another Big Ten matchup. The Spartans are currently a 3-touchdown favorite to win, but a couple of weekends of close games, Michigan isn't taking Rutgers lightly. They're not looking past Rutgers. Something to watch is on Rutgers' defense. Ross Douglas is a fifth-year linebacker for the Scarlet Knights, but was a former corner or U of M. Game coverage can be found on BTN tomorrow afternoon from A Squared. The number 7 MSU men's soccer team will end the regular season this Sunday against number 2 Indiana at DeMartin Stadium. That will be a 3 p.m. kickoff. Junior forwards DeJuan Jones and Ryan Sierakowski both lead the team in goals with 6, but Jones leads the team in points with 16, while Sierakowski has 15. And the Hoosiers lead the Big Ten in scoring with 36 goals and shots with 16.69 shots per game in 16 games, while the Spartans are 5th in the Big Ten in scoring with 19 goals. So expect that Spartan back line and Jimmy Haig to be busy on Sunday afternoon. All right, the Red Wings continued their losing streak last night in Tampa Bay, taking on the Lightning. They fell to the Lightning. They were struck by the Lightning. 3-2. The loss was the 10th straight in the regular season play against the Bolts, who also were helped by a whopping 6 power plays throughout the game. I'm curious, you know, Jacob Herbert, our engineer for today's Current Sports, I know you're a big hockey guy. Are you a, I don't know if I ever asked you, are you a big Red Wings fan? Curious.
You could say that.
Who's your team? Who's your team in the NHL? I know you watch it.
Wait.
Who's your team? Can you hear me?
The Red Wings.
Your team is the Red. So why?
I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, okay. So you were being sarcastic and saying kinda. So those are your guys, right?
Those are my guys.
Well, I mean, they continue their losing streak right now. I mean, what's up with the Wings? What if you had to diagnose the problem for the Wings right now? What would it be?
Just a young team.
A young team. So this would be another transition period for them.
They're in a full rebuild now. I think that was made pretty obvious last year when they made all those trades, kind of leading up to the deadline. But just age. They've got a lot of talent, but it's a young talent, so it's got to develop.
No playoffs this year? I'm curious. If you had to, I know it's early to give a prediction. They just started the season, but
probably not. It might be. It might be a few years, but yeah, right. Not this year.
We'll talk with Helene St. James, Detroit Red Wings beat reporter, next week to dive into the struggles of the Red Wings. So don't miss that next week. And last but not least, clear your schedules for Sunday night because the Lions are on primetime television. That's right, Sunday Night Football. They will face off against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Detroit at Ford Field, looking to improve that record to 4-3. Kickoff is scheduled for 8:30 p.m. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh is looking to take an even bigger stranglehold on the AFC North by improving to 6-2 on the season. And with all the coverage surrounding wide receiver Martavis Bryant this week, the on-the-field action will be at the center of attention. And you talk about attention, my attention will probably be on the World Series, but I'll be watching the Lions as well. That should be an entertaining game. I don't expect it to be close, though. I think we may see a blowout. The Lions may get blown out the water against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is rolling right now. All right, that wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. The number to call in if you want to be a part of our airwaves is 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's keep this train a-pushing.
This is exactly why you do this, you know? You play a bunch of people, you get a chance to see what they're like. You play a team that can give you some problems, you know? I mean, this team, four guys that could drive the ball and a post player that could play probably at a lot of Division I schools.
We just got to be coachable. We don't have any egos on the team, but we just have to listen to what coach has to say.
I just think we have to learn how to bring our practice, you know, into the game. And it's an exhibition game. You know, you see what you have to work on. That's why you play the games. And so, you know, we see what we have to get better at. Now it's time to get better at that.
When I jumped up in the air, I was just hoping that I fell on my hands, would be able to catch myself. But once I was down, I was just thinking, like, I hope I didn't break anything. So once I started moving my muscles, moving my head, I mean, I was just happy that nothing bad happened. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously I had a cut, but that's better than a broken arm or anything else. I mean, especially when I heard we were losing by 3, I was ready to get back out there.
This is how we start this Friday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. A little Madonna for you playing in the background. It's funny because Jacob's like, Al, I'm really digging this groove, man. I'm like, Jacob, you know who this is. Come on now.
I didn't recognize it at first. I'm going to be honest, yeah, but I can hear it now.
Yeah, Into the Groove by Madonna. I love it. I've been on like a Madonna kick. I actually played Madonna to open up the show yesterday as well. So I'm going to listen to a lot of Madonna. I'm very diverse with my music. And then I went from Madonna this morning to Big Crit, who just dropped a new album. So, yeah, I'm very
diverse. You're like on all ends of the spectrum here.
I am, man. I could do a music podcast, dude. I feel like I could, man. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I know a few of you guys have been messaging me on Facebook. Had some trouble with the phones to start the hour. We should be good now if you want to call in and weigh in on anything. But what you just heard, intermixed with the Madonna groove in the background, was some of our coverage from last night's Michigan State men's basketball game. As Michigan State opened up the exhibition year, the first of 3 exhibition games. Of course, they will play Georgia this Sunday, and then we'll take on Hillsdale in the final exhibition matchup of the season next week on Friday. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time. But they played Ferris, and, you know, a lot of people are surprised. You know, 80-72, as I was tweeting out, you know, updates on that game last night, it was on BTN Plus. So if you're not subscribed to BTN Plus, you know, you couldn't watch it on the regular Big Ten Network. It's not like ESPN or ABC had it. It's an exhibition game. So a lot of people couldn't tune in, and they were kind of just following, you know, my Twitter feed, you know, getting score updates. And I'm sitting there tweeting the score throughout the game, and it was just utter outrage from a few of you saying, oh, my goodness. This team is ranked in the top 2 in the nation, according to which poll you talk about. But this is a top 2 men's basketball team, and they're struggling against Ferris State. And I'm just sitting there saying, here we go. Here comes the overreaction to an exhibition game. Take an exhibition game with a grain of salt. Sure, you know, when you're watching it, there are some things that you can point to and say, okay, Michigan State needs to improve on this, this, and that. However, please keep into account that it's an exhibition game. You know, as I was watching that game last night, I said to myself, okay, how hard is Michigan State going right now? I mean, are they going like 80%? Are they going 70%? I mean, they're playing hard. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I always kind of question, you know, especially when they were really struggling defensively last night, I'm sitting there saying to myself, I don't know about the effort right now. I don't know. And it's exhibition play. This matchup does not count toward the record for the Michigan State men's hoop season. It just doesn't. This is an opportunity for Tom Izzo to test out some things, test out different lineups, and really, you know, kind of get a feel for his team before we talk regular season, before we talk Big Ten season men's college basketball. So 80-72. Sure, if you're going against Ferris State and you look at, you know, this is a Division II program, and you look at that final score, sure, because I did the same thing. I'm like, all right, well, that doesn't look good. But the immediate thought that came after that was, it's exhibition play. So can we relax for a little bit? Just take a page 8 out of Aaron Rodgers' book right now. Just relax. Relax, Spartan fans. It's not the end of the world. All right? Don't jump. That's all I'm saying right now. A few things I want to nitpick on when it came to that game last night, though. Defensively, the guards have to play better. I'm calling out guys like Cassius Winston. I'm calling out guys like Joshua Langford. I'm calling out guys, even some of the front court guys. You know, I thought the big men, other than, what, Jaren Jackson Jr., who, by the way, had 8 blocks. 8 blocks last night for Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, that kid is an absolute stud. But I thought the defense of Nick Ward could have been better in the paint. I mean, Nick just kind of backed off multiple times, like, all right, there you go, I'm going to give you that lane. And I just sat there and kind of scratched my head, like, come on, dude. You know, use that frame of yours, that frame that looks pretty in shape, I must say, as well. He lost some more weight this season. But I'm sitting there looking at Nick like, man, you just gave him that. But it was amazing to me how certain guards on Ferris State's roster just easily walked into the paint last night. And, you know, sure, that you know, the guards got help from the front court whenever they would get beat. And we saw Miles Bridges especially. You know, Miles did a great job playing help defense. He was fantastic in that area, I thought. But, you know, we saw some guards able to easily penetrate. You know, guards from Ferris like Drew Cushingberry. Love that last name. Noah King. I mean, they just easily walked up in the paint and just beat guards off the first dribble. And Cassius Winston, you know, that's one of the things that Cassius really reiterated that he's worked on in the offseason alongside Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., whose defense I didn't have a problem with. I mean, Lou Tum Tum, that's what he does best. He is a fantastic defender. He knows how to move his feet, get in front of a defender. He times his steal so well. He was great at that last night. He was really good at that last night. No surprise with Tom. And again, he's a guy that he's a guts and glue guy. He's not going to light you up in the scoring column. He only had 2 points last night, but that's what we expect from Tom, right? We don't expect him to you know, put the ball in the bucket time and time again. However, his defense and his defensive effort is always going to be there. And that's what Cassius Winston, you know, has to learn. And but it was reiterated in the offseason. You know, we would talk to Cash, and he'd be like, yo, I'm working on my defense. Tom is really helping me in that area. I didn't see that last night. Did not see that last night. I will say, one thing I was impressed with Cash is that he has worked on his jump shot. You could see that last night. Cassius Winston can light you up from behind the arc. A much improved jump shot, I think. I mean, he went 4 of 6 from three-point land, and he had some big buckets that helped Michigan State stretch out that lead. Michigan State finally got a double-digit lead with like 3 minutes left, and it was courtesy of Cassius Winston kind of going off from deep. But he was 4 of 6 from three-point land. He was 8 of 13 from the floor. He finished with a team-high 26 points, and he also had 5 assists. To go along with that. So offensively, Cassius Winston was great, and he showed us just a taste of his potential for this upcoming sophomore campaign. But defensively, you got to be better, Cassius. But the player that I really felt for last night, the player that I just kind of sat there and said, oh, I was kind of, you know, I'm always mindful when I enter a locker room. And I'm sure that other media members can attest to that. I'm always mindful that when a player or a team has a bad game, I'm always mindful that when I step into that locker room or step into that interview, I got to change my demeanor up. I can't be, hey, how you doing? All right, that, you know, I can't bring that same energy. I lower my voice a bit. And when I saw Josh sitting in the corner, Josh Langford, that's the guy who I felt for last night. When I saw Josh in the corner of the locker room, I said, all right, I want to talk to Josh. But I got to approach it a certain way. I can't say, hey, Josh, how great game you had, right? No, I got to say, hey, Josh, I know you struggled out there. What happened? You know, you talk real lightly. You just kind of approach it with a sense of sensitivity. And Josh went 0 for 12 last night. 0 for 5 from three-point land. He finished with just 2 points and 4 rebounds. And Josh is one of those players that I picked to be a surprise this year. A guy who I believe, and again, it's only exhibition play. It's only exhibition play. We had a long season left. But Josh is one of those players I really thought was going to have a great game last night. He got good looks. It just wasn't falling for him. It's just one of those nights. One of those nights. And I watched Josh in the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. You know, that mid-range game really seemed to be coming together. That pull-up jumper, fantastic. His handles look to improve a bit. Josh 0 for 12, though. And picking the brain of Josh after the game, and you heard him a bit in that montage. You know, Josh understands it's just one game. And he understands that 99.9% of the time, he's not going to go 0-4 on any given night. I think that will improve, and I'm not worried about Josh. I just felt bad for him last night because he just couldn't get anything to go. His only 2 points were scored from the free throw line. And the other player I felt bad for, other than Josh, was Miles Bridges. Anybody who was in attendance at that game last night know exactly what I'm talking about. Miles Bridges took a spill with 7:29 left to play in the first half. He was playing defense, and again, Miles' defense, it was great last night. Miles was playing defense, a guard on the right wing, gave him a pump fake. Miles goes straight up in the air, so he bit on the pump fake. The guard tries to dribble around Miles as he's up in the air, clips his legs as he's up in the air, and Miles comes tumbling down with no way to get his feet under him. And he falls like on his right shoulder area and then hits the ground, and the place goes just silent, just like that. Just absolutely silent. And I kid you not, we have the footage. If you didn't see it, you can watch it on Facebook.com/currentsports right now. And you can, you know, if you slow it down, because I slowed it down, I've seen it like 10 times. I watched it this morning. And if you slow it down, you can see the face of Tom Izzo. He's sitting there on the bench, and it looks like he's drawing up something. He's talking to one of his players. Nick Ward is by him. I forget who the other player is that he's talking to. When you see the face of Tom Izzo, and Tom, like, just has his mouth open, like, oh, my gosh. And then you can see the instant reaction of the crowd. And they're like, oh, my goodness. Ben Carter jumped up, like, oh, my. I mean, it was. I almost dropped my camera. I'm shooting. I'm like, oh my, I'm sitting there saying to myself, oh my goodness, is he okay? I almost ran out there and tried to help him out and see if he was all right. But you could just feel Spartan Nation take a collective breath. And as they're watching it, you see Miles go down and he tries to get up. And then the next thing I saw was blood. And I'm like, okay, where is the blood coming from? And you could see drips of blood on his jersey. And all of a sudden, I see blood all over his left hand. And the players look like, it looks like Tom huddled together the players who were, the other four players who were on the court. And they may have prayed, I can't remember. They huddled up a bit. And Tom is there with the trainer, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then, thank goodness, all of a sudden, you know, and it's really, really silent. Really silent in the Braves. And then all of a sudden, Miles slowly gets up, and they have like he's got like a Gatorade towel on his head, and he walks to the locker room and he gives the crowd a thumbs up. But my goodness, I can only imagine the thoughts that were running through his head. Now, you heard what he said in the montage. He said, okay, once I started moving and I realized that, okay, my muscles were okay, because we all thought, as media members, we thought it was a shoulder injury, because he came down, looked like he came down on his shoulder. But, you know, once he started moving, he was okay. Just a cut above his eye, his right eye. And thank goodness, though, because, you know, the thoughts that run through your head, for me, And this is what I've always said when it comes to those who are really highly touted college basketball players who have an opportunity to be one and done and go to the NBA and get that money. If you come back, you're risking a lot of things. But I think Miles Bridges is a type of talent that I'm not worried about a sophomore slump with him because he's just that good. The only thing I worry about with a player like Miles Bridges is if he can stay healthy. That's the main thing. Stay healthy, because the moment an injury happens, knock on wood, I'm knocking on wood right now, but the moment an injury happens, you better believe that NBA upper execs are saying, okay, how serious is this? There's just a lot on the line. A lot on the line. So really glad to see Miles walk off the court. And, you know, Tom was asked about it in the post-game presser, and he said, I wasn't worried about anything. I wasn't worried about injuries. He's fine. I wasn't panicking or anything like that. But the thought had to cross Tom's mind. I wonder if it did last night. He asked Miles Bridges if he wanted to play in the second half. Miles, being the competitor that he is, said, heck yes, put me out there, coach, and then came back in the second half with two ESPN top 10 worthy dunks. So Miles is fine. So I'm curious to get your thoughts. Those who are in attendance and got a chance to check out that game last night, Michigan State over Ferris State, again, my biggest gripe with what happened last night was Michigan State's defense, and Tom, he agrees. Especially the defense from the guards. The defense from the guards has to be better, because they just let dribble penetration happen far too often. However, overall, I was impressed with, guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. I was impressed with, of course, Miles Bridges. Cassius Winston had a great game. Xavier Tillman, he didn't light up the stat sheet either. He went in there and had 5 rebounds. He only played 7 minutes, though. We saw Gavin Schilling get in there for 13 minutes. He had 2 points. But, again, it's only exhibition game 1. That's just my big takeaway. The defense has to be better, but it's exhibition game 1, folks. All I'm saying is don't panic. There's a lot of basketball left to play. All right? This is still a top team in the world of men's college hoops. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Zach Berridge, sports anchor and reporter for WILX TV 10. Zach will help us preview the opening night of high school football playoffs. We have 21 teams in the Big Dance, folks. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up segment A by recapping last night's Michigan State men's basketball exhibition matchup against Ferris State, an 80-72 win for Tom Izzo's Spartans. They will now play in a charity exhibition matchup against Georgia at Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids on Sunday at 2 p.m. I recounted the Miles Bridges scare from last night, a really scary moment. It really could have been much worse. Miles is able to escape that with just a scratch over his eye. But, real quick, Jacob, before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, I sat there, and as I was shooting that, you look at Miles, and if he would have came out after his freshman season, he would have been an NBA lottery pick, making millions of dollars playing for, some subpar team in the National Basketball Association. But, guaranteed millions on the line. And I'm sure a lot of people, when they saw Miles go down, they said, oh, my goodness, that's like 60 mil right there on the ground in pain, bleeding. Just what are your thoughts? Because I know you didn't see the moment, But, you know, when you evaluate a moment like that, pretty scary, right?
Oh, yeah, it's very scary. I mean, you never want to see a player go down like that, no matter what team, what sport. But I actually did look at it. I went to go check out your package from last night. So I did see the fall. But, I mean, with all the promise surrounding this team this year, I mean, Miles Bridges is your guy. Not that, I mean, the other guys, players couldn't pick up the slack, but, I mean, this is a team that has national title hopes, Big Ten title hopes. I mean, Miles Bridges is preseason player of the year or something like that. I don't remember.
SI preseason national player of the year, ESPN preseason national player of the year, Big Ten player of the year. I mean, we go on and on and on right now, but
and,
yeah.
And, that not only would have been a loss for Michigan State, I mean, that's a loss for college basketball. This is a kid that, you know, everyone is going to want to watch, especially this year, now that he decided to come back.
And I'm curious now to see if Izzo kind of yanks the leash a bit on these next two exhibition games.
I would rather be safe with a player like Miles.
Right. And I will monitor all their minutes. I mean, there
exactly.
are a lot of important
yeah.
pieces here when it comes to this team. Again, Miles is the centerfold of everything. He's that centerpiece. But there are a lot of important pieces that you just, you know, and injuries happen. I mean, it's virtually impossible. And you got to be really lucky to go through an entire season pretty much unscathed with no injuries. It's going to happen. Let's just hope that it's not really serious. That's the big thing that you hope for, at least. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We've got multiple people weighing in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports as well. Ben Grimes chimes in and says, Miles got extremely lucky last night. It could have been 10 times worse. Very true, Ben. And again, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you saw from the Michigan State men's basketball exhibition game one last night. But in the meantime, let's talk high school football, because tonight marks the opening night of postseason play for many of our local teams. A lot of opening round playoff games when it comes to many of our local teams here in the greater Lansing area. And to help us preview the action for tonight is Zach Berridge, sports anchor and reporter for WILX TV 10. Zach, how you doing, my friend? Are you excited about tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me again. I can't believe we made it 9 weeks. I'm finally putting wool socks on for the first time, so I guess we were lucky in that regard.
You knew it was coming, right? And thank goodness it came this late in the year, right? I mean, it's a bit chilly outside. The rain is coming down, but there should be a nice slate of high school football on the docket for high school football fans across this great area. Again, that begins tonight, opening night, Zach. As far as the matchups go, because there are a few intriguing ones. I mean, you could look at, you know, DeWitt and Grand Rapids Christian, Lansing Catholic at Olivet, Sexton, Lakewood. Which matchups intrigue you the most tonight?
Yeah, I think you kind of started with the DeWitt game just because there's a couple revisiting matchups. If you go back to week one, where Grand Rapids Christian beat DeWitt, you know, the first week, that was their only loss, and same goes for Portland to Ovid LC. So a couple week one rematches, and then you look at Grand Ledge 2. They didn't play Rockford this year. They played them last year. I think it was the district opening round as well there, and Grand Ledge beat them. That was a heck of a game. So I think those three, if you're looking at the big schools. But the one district that I think that's really interesting, especially for a team like Hazlitt, which hasn't had, you know, they've had to deal with DeWitt so often in the postseason, and now they're kind of out, or they're not in the same district. So they've got a real opportunity, I think, Hazlitt playing. Tonight they've got Parma Western, and then if they advance past them, it's the winner of East Lansing and Tecumseh. So a real good shot for one, and then you can throw East Lansing in that group too. Either one of those two teams has a really good shot to come away with a district title, although obviously still have to get through this first game before anyone starts talking about that.
Yeah, and Zach, I'm really intrigued about this DeWitt matchup, because, you know, you talk about rematches, right? And, you know, DeWitt actually, you know, suffered a season opening 38-30 loss on the road to number 10 ranked Grand Rapids Christian, which would sit at 7-2 on the year. And, you know, a very close game What do you think is going to be the difference in that matchup tonight to possibly propel DeWitt on top this time?
You know, I'm not real sure just because I'm not too familiar with Grand Rapids Christian. I think they're a 7-win team, 7-2. I could be wrong on that. But,
yeah, 7-2, yeah.
Is a 7-2, yeah. You know, at this point, you kind of throw records out regardless. But the one thing that seems different, just the way I understand it, is now DeWitt's got two healthy quarterbacks. You know, they were playing with their backup, I believe, for most of the year. And now, yeah, I've seen, and, you know, I don't have the names on me, sorry, but that could be the difference. As we saw him play last week, and, you know, I feel like I talked with you about this a couple of different weeks over the season. It's one of those teams that just gets better and better as the season goes on, and that's DeWitt, and that's credit to Rob Zimmerman and the coaching staff. They do that every single week. So, like I said, it's hard to talk too much about it for me, just not being familiar with Grand Rapids Christian. And
right.
You know, I like DeWitt in that game. I think home field plays a big part in that, and having a healthy quarterback. And like I said, a team that's always getting better. And I would be surprised to see DeWitt lose to the same team twice in one year.
Yeah, I would too. And that's where I was going next. You know, Rob Zimmerman is such a great coach that you're not going to bite him twice. You know, he's going to find out how to adjust. And I'm sure they've been working on it, you know, throughout this entire week. DeWitt's going to come ready. And DeWitt right now in the playoffs for a 12th straight season has won at least one postseason game each year during that streak. So we'll see if they can continue that streak tonight, Zach. And Grand Rapids Christian, you know, they've been ranked in the Division III state rankings all season. And they're coming off a loss, actually, to Middleville, a team that finished 2-7. They lost that game 24-20. So two teams possibly trending in opposite directions. I don't know, in this first game, Zach.
Yeah, that's, you know, week nine does that for some teams.
Right.
You know, I thought it happened with Olivet. I thought they finished 9-0, but they lost to BC Penfield, which is, I think, about a 500 team. I could be wrong. But, yeah, week nine puts some weird things out there. And then it's just kind of about how you forget about it or don't forget about it and move on.
Yeah, and, you know, possibly, you know, maybe, you know, this Grand Rapids Christian team, maybe in that last week, knowing they're already in the playoffs, maybe trying some new things, you know, putting out some different player personnel, who knows. But I think it's going to be a fun game tonight. Lansing Catholic and Olivet, that's an intriguing one. You know, two local teams, you know, CAAC, white runner-up, the Cougars. They finished the year, Zach, 7-2. And then you have the GLAC champ, the Eagles, 8-1. How do you evaluate that matchup? And I'm curious. I don't know. I'm not sure if you've heard anything concerning Michael Lynn III, but I assume he will be the starter. Not sure how healthy he will be tonight. But who do you think has the edge in that matchup?
You know, I kind of like it as a toss up right now. I believe Michael will play. I think he played last week, and we showed him in our highlights throwing downfield. So I would expect him to go too. And obviously, that's a huge deal because we've seen what the team is like with and without him. Danya Olivet has a terrific defense. If you go and look at their season stats, I think they're giving up something like 11 or 12 points per game on average. And, you know, granted, that comes against a few down GLAC teams, and I don't remember how strong their non-conference. I know they beat Berrien Springs, which I believe is a 7 or 8 win team, so that was big.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Olivet, they're not – just a good GLAC team. I think they can play. I mean, they're in the same division as Lansing Catholic, and you know, I remember watching them beat Lakewood. That was they were both 5-0 at the time. They were playing for the GLAC title, and they just stifled Lakewood on defense, and the Vikings are a team that put up lots of points every single week. So Lansing Catholic, you know, they're going to have to find a way to move the ball. Thankfully, I think it plays in their favor that they do have a guy who can both throw and run, just because that throws, you know, a little bit of a more to deal with if you are a defensive team. But, you know, I'm not sure if I'm up for picking, just like most weeks. I'm not much right. of a prediction guy, but, yeah, that's definitely going to be one of our more intriguing matchups among many.
Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, the next one I want to bring up is Lansing Sexton at Lakewood. And, yeah, you know, Lakewood, you know, the Vikings, this is interesting to me because, you know, the Big Reds right now are going to be on a redemption tour after what happened to them last year, because Lakewood beat the Big Reds to capture the district championship. Sexton finishes third in the CAAC Blue, started off the season well, and then, you know, kind of struggled near the end of the year. That's going to be a fun matchup too, Zach.
Yeah, I will tell you, I do like Sexton. I won just because it is a rematch type game, and I mean, you've heard me all season long talk about how good Lakewood is, and you know how much we enjoy covering them, and what they're an 8-win team as well. But something about Sexton, every time I've seen Sexton play, and I think that they're going to get beat, they play just very, very good defense in their own right. And so I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for Lakewood to move the ball against Sexton. But as far as the rematch goes, I think there is something, you know, Lakewood obviously has home field, but Sexton has a little bit extra there going for that payback they lost in the district title game last year, if you remember that. And that was a fantastic game. So, you know, they're a young team last year, so I think most of those guys are back and they're eager to move on and actually get that district championship this year. I like Sexton on the road. I think they played better at home, but, you know, what can you do once you get to the postseason? So
right.
We'll have to see them. You know, as you know, they've got a very good skill players in their backfield as well, too.
Zach Berridge, sports anchor and reporter for WILX TV 10. Zach, is there a local team that we aren't talking about enough that could surprise some people and make a deep run?
You know, I think honestly, I think Sexton might be one. I think if things shake out the right way for Hadlett, they could move on and be in the get past the district. But for as much as great of a season as they have, we don't talk a whole lot about either Portland or Formal Australia, and I think both of those are two of the top three teams that have the best chance to go as far as anyone in our area, honestly. And that's, you know, that's no different, and I think that's it's no different from year to year, just because I think we're so used to expecting it from them. But, you know, Formal Australia especially kind of flown under the radar just because what they lost in week one to a very good team. What was that? St. Mary's, a really, really good team. And, you know, they haven't been top-ranked all year like they were last year or like we've seen in past seasons. And they don't have Jared Smith. They don't have the guy necessarily. But, you know, they're as good as anyone that we have in our area, at least for division. So I would definitely not take your eyes off them, not take your eyes off Portland either, although they're going to have a tough game. I think it'll be closer than maybe most would expect it over the LC tonight.
Yeah, over the LC. I mean, trying to, you know, when they bounce back from, you know, I just like over the LC from top to bottom. When you evaluate that team, Zach, I think that they are going to really push Portland tonight. And, you know, Portland, they posted a 26-17 win over the Marauders to kick off the season. But, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of matchups, and I know you got everything planned out for tonight's opening round of the playoffs, Zach. How many games you guys going to be going at tonight? It's like 20-plus teams from the area who have made the big dance.
Yeah, we've got 11 on our schedule, plus we're bringing in a couple of the traveling team. So we should be able to show the big rematch of Lake Fenton and Williamston, which is at Lake Fenton. A lot of people are watching that game just because of how week nine ended for them and a Hail Mary win from Lake Fenton in the final second. Williamston definitely looking for some payback there. They know how to beat that team. They beat them last year.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. We'll have that. And then we're going to pipe in, I believe the Springport game. They're playing over at Saugatuck. So should have 13 or 14 games on tonight. And 11-14 on NBC. If you can't watch it, we'll have it up on our website by midnight.
That is great stuff. Again, let our listeners know how they can tune in tonight, Zach.
Yeah, 11-14 NBC. And we'll be on screen for about 15 minutes, showing you all that we can and more, hopefully.
Are you guys showing some I'm sure you guys are previewing some MSU football, of course, as they play Northwestern tonight as well. Talking right. Any MSU men's basketball at all either tonight?
You know what? We give priority just to our high school game. So if we have time left over, yeah, we'll definitely address that stuff and talk about a big weekend coming up all around, not just football, basketball, but a lot of MSU sports with hockey in town and volleyball's got a big matchup as well. So we'll get to Michigan State if we have the time, but high school definitely has priority tonight.
Well, I tell you, your plate is so full, man. I know. All right.
Yeah, you do. You know it, don't you?
Yes, for sure, brother. I'm still wiping the crust out of my eyes from that long night last night covering MSU men's hoops. But all right, Zach. Oh, yeah. Appreciate it, man. We'll be watching tonight. Good luck, dude.
All right. Thanks, Al.
All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this week's current sports by briefly chatting about the Michigan State football team as well as the Detroit Lions and Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is October 27th, a Friday. You know what just hit me? Well, I just had a flashback because I know Halloween is what, Tuesday, Jacob? So that means, oh my goodness, it just hit me. That means this is the biggest party weekend of the Michigan State student year, right?
It's and one of them, yeah.
This has to be the big, well, St. Patrick's Day. I know
St. Patty's Day is huge.
St. Yep. Patty's Day is pretty big. But Halloween, I remember when I went to Michigan State, man, you know, you dress up, man. At one year I was, man, what was it? I was Tiger Woods one year.
You mean Al Woods?
Yeah, Al Woods, right, exactly, right. No, I wasn't. I'm sorry. I went as Arnold Palmer, the golfer. That's what it was. Okay, I like dressed up, old-timey. It was pretty funny. Gosh, I went as... And just an old man, which kind of was similar to the Arnold Palmer get up. I guess I like dressing like an old dude. I don't know. I'm an old soul, as you know. But what are you doing anything for Halloween? Are you dressing up at all? I'm curious.
You know, I don't have a costume yet.
You don't have a costume?
I know, and I didn't want to say it.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, like every current
I think
sports,
I'm like last minute going to go hit some thrift stores today and see what I can find.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm pretty sure Party City up here is probably banging right now.
Probably.
Man. But yeah, I mean, because I know like the weekend before Halloween, and don't let Halloween fall on a weekend. Oh, my goodness. That'd be crazy, right? But I know the weekend before Halloween, that's when students usually celebrate it up here. So I was going to be crazy up here. Be safe, students, is all I'm saying. Be safe and have fun. All right. 517-355-WKAR if you want to get a quick call in the last, 5 minutes of the show. But I do want to address the MSU football team again. MSU will hit the road to Evanston, Illinois to take on the Northwestern Wildcats. That will be a 3:30 p.m. kickoff tomorrow. Northwestern on a two-game win streak with wins over Maryland and Iowa. And the key for Michigan State right now, again, especially after this week, they will play Penn State at home, and then we'll head to Columbus, Ohio to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. That offense has to get going. That's the big elephant in the room right now. You know, I talked about the tweet on yesterday's show from Brian Lewerke. For those who stuck around, he tweeted out after the win against Indiana on Saturday, quote, "Thank you to Spartan Nation for sticking around until the end. Not the prettiest win, but it got done," end quote, or end tweet. It's the thing, the offense is struggling. I mean, the offense right now, they scored 20 points in only one of their last five games. And their offense is a big reason, you know, why it's really hard to treat Michigan State as a major threat for the Big Ten title in the eyes of many. The Spartans are number one in the conference in total defense, 12th in scoring, though, 9th in passing. MSU is 7th in the conference in total offense, and 2nd in time of possession. So with that being said, to that last point, it's not as though the Spartans have been completely, you know, shut down. They've controlled the game, and that also bodes in their favor. I mean, they're controlling time of possession each and every Saturday. It's just that they aren't finishing drives with enough points. Turnovers were an issue early on in the season. and the Spartans haven't been all that efficient when it comes to the red zone. And the only time they sniffed the red zone on Saturday was with, what, 6 minutes left in the game. Last weekend, Michigan State trailed Indiana 9-3 before Brian Lewerke. And this is one thing I will say about Brian Lewerke. He may not, his offensive numbers may not really pop. And you won't see Brian sitting back in the pocket for a deep bomb for a touchdown. It's just not the quarterback that he is right now. Hopefully he transforms into that, but right now that's not what we're getting. But when Lewerke needs to make a play to win the game, like on Saturday, he put the Spartans ahead with a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter. Michigan State went on to win that game 17-9 despite gaining only 274 yards of offense. And they were held to 89 yards rushing on 44 carries. L.J. Scott got loose a little bit, and let's be honest, Indiana let L.J. score that final touchdown because they wanted some time on the clock to possibly have a chance to still win the game. But the offense has to play better. The defense is there, but everybody's going to be honing in and watching to see if this offense can get out of the doghouse. So we'll see. I'm going with Michigan State to win this game. Jacob, are you picking Michigan State? When it comes to the Vegas line, I mean, Michigan State's favorite in this game, excuse me, by, I believe, it's something like 6 points, something like that. Maybe the line has shifted. You know,
I'm not really sure what the line is.
I checked
right now
at the beginning of the week. Are you picking MSU to win this game, though?
Yeah, I am, but it's going to be, I mean, Northwestern's a good team. But so it's going to be close. I think it'll be kind of like the Indiana game. We'll pull it out late in the fourth quarter. But yeah,
watch,
I think
out
MSU
for Justin,
wins.
Justin Jackson can ball. The program's all-time leading rusher with under a minute left. Lions in Pittsburgh. I think this won't even be close. I think I'll be tuning over to watch the World Series game pretty early in this game. I'm going the Lions to lose against Pittsburgh. What are you saying that one?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. The Lions, I guess with exception to the Monday night game when they played the Giants, who aren't a very good team, usually don't play well in primetime games. So, yeah, I think the Steelers will take this one.
All right. Folks, we'll see you on Monday. I can't believe that's it. That's it for the week in current sports, folks. We'll recap all of the weekend action on Monday's current sports, and we hope to have figure skating sensation Hannah Miller on the show on Monday. So going to be a hot show when we come back. Have a great weekend. Be safe and be easy, people.